I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm and make the sun to shine again. I know the master of the wind. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad that you know him tonight? Amen. No matter what the storms of life may throw at us. Amen. Amen. We know the master. Amen. Amen. He's got it all in control tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I understand that that song is symbolic, right? But sometimes I don't want the sun to shine. I like some rain. Amen. And then we can pray to the master of the rain. And in times of drought, we can receive the rain. Amen. Amen. Because he's the master of it all. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. You know, I believe that'll be our part of our place in the millennium. Amen. We'll stop up the heavens or we'll call for rain. Amen. The heathens don't come to church. No rain for you. Amen. Well, we just love the Lord tonight. Thank you, musicians. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. Amen. Just want to greet you again in the name of the Lord Jesus. And amen. Thank you for coming back tonight. Amen. It's always, you know, just, I guess, sort of a neurotic thing. When you're a preacher, you always think, oh, I don't know if anybody will come back after that. But thank you. You came back tonight, so we appreciate that. Amen. I'll tell you, I it's been a long time since I was so wore out after a service as this morning. It was a little bit of an effort. Amen. This morning, so I don't know what was going on, what was hindering, but amen. Trust that tonight maybe we've got the funny feelings out, and amen. We'll be a little more free tonight to just let the Lord let go and let God, amen, have his way. And I tell you, it certainly makes it easier on whoever's standing up here. Because we feel it. We feel it in our flesh, especially afterwards. And like I said, it just knocked me out. So I thank God for a little nap, and we're glad to be back here with you tonight. And we want to just continue to pray for the Baker family, Brother Baker and Brother and Sister Baker, and then Brother and Sister Mike and Jill Baker, amen, as they'll be traveling back this week. And amen. Just appreciate the opportunity that he had to get a little break, a little vacation. And amen. And we've got some rain coming on the way. Amen. And just believe that we've got rain coming on the way tonight. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you'd stand for the reading of the word tonight, we're gonna tackle part two. Just continuing where we left off this morning. And we'd like to read again in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, the model prayer. Amen. It says, "It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Amen. How many can say amen to that word tonight? Amen. If you have a need on your heart, just want to signify it by lifting up a hand tonight. He sees the hands. Father, Lord, we're coming to you tonight, Lord, as your children, Father. And Lord, we've come for an evening service tonight to receive from you and to surrender to you, Lord, to let you have your way. Lord, to let your word be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, every hand that went up, Father, there's a need there represented. And Father, I just pray that you would meet that need, Lord. And just as your sons and your daughters, Lord, they lift up their hearts to you. They lift up their need to you, Lord. May you just move on their behalf, I pray tonight. We just want to unite our faith together, Lord, as a body, and bind together and believe, Lord, that you're going to move. We thank you, Lord, for how you've delivered and how all the testimonies of things that you've done, Lord. And Lord, I know that you're still on the throne tonight, Lord. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're still a healer. You're still a deliverer, God. And so we just pray tonight, Lord, that your word would come and set us free, Lord, that it would bring a freedom, Father. Lord, I don't know what was such a hindrance this morning, Father, but we don't want that here. We don't want any hindering spirits. So, Lord, I pray that you would drive demons out of this place, Lord. Lord, that you would just remove those hindering spirits, Father, for your glory, that your word can go forth. Lord, this is your work, Lord, and we're here standing, Father, believing you. And Lord, we're just all here reporting for duty, Lord, but it's you. You're the captain, Lord, of the host. Lord, you're the one that fights our battles for us. So Lord, we just say, have your way, Lord. Help us to surrender, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get our flesh out of the way. Lord, help us not to be a hindrance to your spirit. Lord, because your people have needs, or there are people here that need you, Lord. They need to hear your word. They need to hear your voice clearly, Father. And we don't want the enemy to get over on us. We don't want the enemy to prevent us tonight from receiving what belongs to us. So, Lord, I just pray that you would have a hand on every part of this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Amen. So this morning we were looking at this model prayer where Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. And he says, this manner, in this way, this is how you pray, right? This is the manner to use. You approach our Father. Amen. And he is your Father. He's my Father. As the family of God, the children of God, we're all part of the same family, amen, and we have the same Father. And then we started to look at John chapter 17, where Jesus was praying, amen, where he was demonstrating to us how to pray, but his prayer shows us his attitude toward us, and it shows what God's desire, his heart's desire is for you and me. Amen. Because that's what Jesus came to do. He came to reveal the heart of God. Amen. He came to show us God's compassion and his love and his mercy and his heart for us and his plan for us. Amen. And so as he prayed, he's showing God's desire for you and me. Amen. Amen. Is that right? Amen. And we saw, you know, how Brother Branham said, you know, when we pray, we don't command God like he's some kind of errand boy, but we come to have our will molded and shaped. Amen. Amen. To have our will line up with his will. And then when our will begins to line up with his word, then, brother, sister, we can expect. Amen. Amen. Then we can come with expectation and know that he hears us, that our prayer is going to be answered. Amen. That it's on the way. It's on the road. It may not be there right now, but it's coming. Why? Because it's the word of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at... I've got several quotes that I wanted to give to you tonight. This is from the countdown message. He says, now I believe that we as a people have perfect, absolutely perfect vindication that Jesus Christ is with us. Amen. Amen. Is there any doubt that Jesus Christ is with you tonight? He says, do you believe that? Jesus Christ is with us. Yes. And so if he's here to answer. Yes. And to minister to us every blessing that he promised in his word. So when we pray and lay hands on the sick, we expect you to believe that, he says. We're not just doing this just to be, you know, for no reason, right? He says, I'm going to lay hands on you and I expect you to believe it. Amen. When we preach the word, we expect you to receive it and believe it. Amen. And then it'll come to pass. He says, we expect you to believe that. God expects you to believe that and never move from it. Let nothing shake you from it. Hallelujah. Standing fast in prayer on God's word is how we move mountains. It's how we obtain promises. It's how we defeat the enemy. By standing fast on his promises. Amen. So John chapter 17, we're going to pick up where we left off this morning, verse 11. He says, now, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee. So he says, I'm going to you, right? I come from God, I go to God, but these, they're staying behind. He says, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Amen. Amen. Jesus says, I have kept them, all except that one who was predestinated to that. But all that was given to me, the predestinated ones, I have kept. Amen. You know, nobody could have kept Judas. Judas had the best pastor. He had the best preacher, the best minister, the best ministry to sit under. Signs and wonders working in his life. But it didn't matter because he was predestinated. Amen? Amen. So don't blame the ministry. Amen for your problems. Amen. Judas had the best preacher. Amen. It's what's in the heart of the believer. Amen. He didn't keep Judas because Judas didn't belong to the Father. He said he didn't lose any that were his. So he wasn't one of them. Amen. He wasn't given to him by the Father. Those that are given to him by the Father have eternal life. And as an attribute of God, they always did have eternal life. They just had to be manifested and then redeemed. Amen? And Jesus prays that the Father would keep us. So this is his word. Amen? This is his promise, his will. Jesus is praying according to the will of God that you would be kept. Amen. That's God's will. That you would be kept. That you would be kept from the world. Amen. That's his promise. He says, I kept them in thy name. Amen. And he's praying that these are going to be in the world, but I'm going to go to you. But Lord, keep them in your name. Amen. That's his will for you. Amen. Verse 13, he says, now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. That they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Amen. Wow, what is his joy? His joy. I mean, this is not ordinary joy. This is his joy. Amen. Brother John has his joy. Amen. But this is Jesus' joy. Amen. Can we be joyful? Can you enjoy living as a Christian? Can you live for Christ and have joy? Amen. Satan tries to paint Christianity as some old dull, you know, dreary, something that's, you know, stuffy and boring and, you know, lacking of any kind of excitement and joy, and just paints it as gray as possible. Amen. He says, if you want to really live, this is how you do it. Amen. Right? You go out into the world and you live life and you experience life and you do what The enemy leads you, that path that the enemy leads you on. You do everything that the world says is good and fun, and that's how you really get joy. That's what the enemy says. And this Christianity stuff, stay away from that, man. If you want to be happy, they're a bunch of you know, sour faced, you know, sad. And the flesh, well, the flesh wants to do it. Here's the problem. Your flesh thinks that it knows what it needs to be happy. It does. It thinks it knows. Oh, if I could just have some ice cream, man, I'd be happy. Happy, happy. And then you get the ice cream, and then it's, well, maybe if I could have more ice cream. Right? It thinks it knows. If I could just, then I would be truly happy. If I could just, and it's one, the next thing, next lust of the flesh, one right after another. Right? But the flesh is trying because it's trying to be happy. It's trying for joy. Right? And Satan plays to that, and the world feeds off of that. And it says, look, if you could just give your flesh this, then you'd be happy. And that's how people go down that path of trying to find joy. Right. Trying to find happiness. They try and give their flesh everything they can. Look, King Solomon did that. Right. He tried it. He says, I have done everything. Right? He tried everything that could possibly make his flesh happy. And he said at the end, he said, it's all vanity. Amen. Amen? The enemy has built his kingdom around the pursuit of happiness. Amen. I mean, it's even written in our Constitution. Amen. It's enshrined as a right for you to pursue happiness. Amen. Did you know that? All you students of history. Amen. People attempting to live life to the fullest, seeking after joy. And certainly there's nothing wrong with living every day to the fullest, right? I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that. But they're seeking what they've told is the ultimate. Oh, if I could just go on, you know, if I could just get to that place. I used to work with people like this, right? They would sit and daydream, and they'd have these wallpapers on their computer. Right? And it was like some, I don't know, some place in the Caribbean, some beach somewhere with the blue clear water and the, you know, the hammock and the palm trees, right? And oh, if I could just be there instead of here at work, then I would be truly happy. No, you'd be just as miserable as you, and most miserable people, right? You'd just be as cranky and miserable there as you are here. That's what they were. They were cranky. I felt sorry for them. I used to have, I can tell you some stories about, we had people that I used to work with. Michael knew some of them at Pima. They were pretty cranky people. And man, just people that, they're just complain. Right? And people would get so upset at him, and I felt sorry for them. They had no joy in their life. They said, if we could just do this. No, that wouldn't do it, because you would still be there. If you went to that beautiful island, it wouldn't be pristine anymore, because your cranky, old, complaining carcass is there. And you would be there with all your problems complaining. It's an illusion. Amen? Amen. I'm sorry that I remember this, but I remember when I was a kid and I would watch Saturday morning cartoons, and they would have Looney Tunes, right? And Looney Tunes was really popular when I was a kid. And one of one of the gags, right, was always the mirage, right? The guy's out in the desert and he sees water out in the desert and he runs for it and he starts digging and it's just sand. It's a mirage, right? That's what the joy of this world is. It's a mirage. It's not real. It's not lasting. Amen. Trying to fulfill the joys of the flesh. Trying to make your flesh happy. It'll never work. It'll never happen. Because it doesn't, the flesh doesn't know what it actually needs. And what it actually needs to be happy is it needs the joy of the Lord in the soul. And if the joy of the Lord is in the soul, then it puts the flesh in its rightful place. And then the joy of the Lord overcomes the flesh. And that's when your flesh is really happy. So it's not that, you know, when we talk about crucifying the flesh and putting the flesh under the word and bringing it into subjection of the word, it's not that you can't be joyful in your flesh. It's not that your flesh would not get happy. Not at all. It's that you tell your flesh, you think you know what will make you happy. But it won't make you happy, but I know the one that can really bring you joy. I know the one that will set your feet to dance in. Amen. Hallelujah. If we live in the Spirit, the flesh will not be allowed to get what it wants. Amen. But it will get what it needs. Amen. It will come under subjection and it will be experience a different kind of joy. Amen. A lasting joy. A joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy greater than it ever expected to get. Amen. Better joy than sitting on some old beach somewhere. Amen. You could have two people sitting on that same old beach, one filled with the joy of the Lord, and they would be experiencing it at a different level than that old crabby person. Amen. So sad and down. Why? Because they don't have joy. They don't have the joy of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You all know people. You know what I'm talking about. Those people need your prayers. They need the Lord. Amen. They're sad. They're bound up by the enemy. Amen. Let's read here in the Patmos vision. We need to shake some chains tonight. Amen. 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 Have you ever noticed how the world gets into the spirit of things that are in the world? They go to their ball games, their sporting events, their dances. They enter into the spirit of it. They don't sit there like a wallflower or old dried up sticks. They enter right into the feel of things and become part of things. But oh, how they hate the Christians for getting in the spirit of God's word. They call us fanatics and holy rollers. There's nothing they won't do to show their hatred and disapproval. But ignore that.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes that old critic is right in your own flesh.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Man, you're going to look like a fool. You're going to look like a fanatic. Amen. They're going to call you a holy roller. But ignore that. He says you can expect it. Knowing where it's coming from, you just go on and get in the spirit of worship. Oh, if we could just do that tonight. Amen. If we could just get in the spirit of worship, our God is worthy. Amen. He said our spirit is clean. I like this. Our spirit is clean. Amen. We're not out having fun in some bar somewhere worshiping some demon spirit. Some spirit of alcohol, some spirit of rock and roll, some spirit of dance. Our spirit is clean.
Amen.
He says it's fresh. It's real.
Amen.
It is sober and serious, but nonetheless full of the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
The Christian ought to be just as exuberant and full of his pleasure in the Lord as the world is when it savors and delights in its pleasures. Amen. That means if somebody at a sporting event can outshout you, there's something wrong. The church ought to be able to outshout anybody. Amen. We ought to be full and exuberant when it comes to the pleasure and joy of the Lord. He says both Christians and the world are human. Both have emotions. The difference is the Christian's hearts and emotions are purely on the Lord of glory. And his love, while the world satisfies the flesh. Hallelujah. And your joy, it don't quit when the times get tough.
Amen.
Amen. When the trials come and the rain starts coming down, figuratively, of course. Amen. The joy doesn't stop.
Right.
Amen. But their kind of joy, oh, I go to work and I got this trial and oh, I'm back down in the molly grubs again. Why? Because it was all based on some fleshly feeling. Amen. And Christians that rely on fleshly feelings, they're up and down and up and down and up and down. They don't have the joy of the Lord to carry them through. The joy of the Lord is there no matter what you're going through. Why? Because He's there. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. The Holy Spirit is our joy. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, let's kick that starchiness out of here tonight. Amen. Amen. Walking in this word is not drudgery. Amen. We're not carrying a burden. Amen. We're not packing around all these cares. At least we shouldn't be. If we're packing around cares, yeah, maybe you do feel a little down, but let go of that tonight. You don't have to carry that load. He said, cast your cares on Him. Amen. Amen. That how can you dance when you're packing a load? Hallelujah. We're like little children playing before the Father. Amen. Not a care in the world. You watch little kids on the floor playing in the living room, right? They're not thinking about, oh, how's the bills going to get paid? Where's my next meal going to come from? They're just enjoying life. Amen. They're playing. They're carefree. Amen. Not a worry or care in the world. They know that they've got a Father who's sitting there watching over them. Amen. And He's taking care of their every need. Hallelujah. And that's a natural Father. Oh, think of what our Heavenly Father can do. Amen. He really can take care of every need. Amen. He can defend you from every foe. Oh, hallelujah. The world calls us fanatics. But that's all right. We're just experiencing the joy that they know nothing about. Amen. Amen. We read that quote to you this morning. He says, we've tapped into something that the ordinary person knows nothing about. The person on the street, they can't relate. Amen. Why? Because we've connected with someone. Amen. Hallelujah. Why shouldn't we enter right into the feeling of the meetings? Like he said, amen. Cast down those chains.
Yes, amen.
Leave your burdens on the floor tonight, amen.
Yeah.
Let go. Hallelujah. Like the prophet said, he said, our hearts and our emotions are pure. They're fully on the Lord of glory.
Amen.
That's where we find our joy. Jesus prayed that you might have this joy. That was His desire and His will for you, that you would have His joy. Amen. If you don't have it tonight, it's because you just need to receive it. Amen. You just need to reach out and take a hold of it. It's His will for you to have it tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Verse 14, let's continue on here. I have given them Thy word. And the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Amen. They don't understand it. They can't understand it. And because when he's speaking of the world, of course, he's speaking of the world system, which is controlled by Satan. Brother Branham broke it down and said it's Satan's Eden. Amen. Satan controls the world cosmos system. Amen. And that's what Jesus is speaking about. The world hated him. The world crucified him. The world persecuted him. Why should you be any different? Oh man, a month ago we were shouting. Now, brother, you're taking us down. He manifested the word, and that word was a light.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. It was a bright light. It was a spotlight. It was a lighthouse. Amen. And some don't like the light shined on them. You know, cockroaches don't like the light. You shine a light on them and you hear the you may never see them, but you'll hear that little as they head to dark places. Why? Because they can't abide the light. The light shows their deeds that they're evil. That's what the scripture says. Amen. That cosmos system doesn't want the light shown on it. You know why the world hates you? Because you are a standard. Amen. Because you stand for something. Because you stand for the word. You stand for holiness. You stand for truth. You say this is right and this is wrong. And the world doesn't want to abide with that. They want to say, no, whatever I feel like is right. No, this is right and this is wrong. And they hate you for it. Why? Because you're shining a light on the darkness. Now some, brother, sister, will be blinded by that light. Some will run from it. Some will hate it. Some will try and destroy it. Some will be blinded by it, but others will come to it.
Amen.
You got to be a light, a lighthouse. Amen? And others will see that light and they'll get curious and they'll be drawn to it.
Amen.
Amen. So you got to let that light shine. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit in your life shows that you're not of this world. Amen. Even as he was not of this world. The world hated him. The world hated them. The world hates us because we are not of this world, just as he was not of the world. Amen. I'm okay with that. Are you okay with that? This world's crazy. It's insane. I'm okay with being on the sane side. Amen. Amen. From the message, Jehovah Jireh, he says, I ask you, Christian friend, ask you, sinner friend. This is the one we read this morning, and I just wanted to read it again just as we continue on tonight. He says, what if he was dying tonight, and could America save you? Of course, no. Where will you be 10,000 years from tonight? Where will you be maybe in the morning? Your destination might be sealed tonight. You don't know. Let me warn you, get right with God. So he's making a call. He's making an invitation. Amen. He says, get acquainted with the heavenly things, that the Spirit comes down from heaven where holiness stands, where angels of God stand, where Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of God in majesty and glory and holiness and power of God. Amen. When I read that, I think that's where that seems like to me. Right? That's what I like.
Amen.
Holiness. The angels of God. God in his majesty. Amen? But look at what he says. He says, but then you walk as a stranger here because you're an alien here. Right? You're from another a land. Amen? He says, you're not of this world. You are not of this world, little children. Neither am I of this world. I pray for you. See, Jesus prayed for his church that they would not be of the world. They are not of the world. I don't care. You're not American. You're not Swedish. You're not European. You're a Christian. And if you're a Christian, your spirit is from up there. So it makes you live holy, want to be holy, want to act like Christ and act like God. Your whole desire is on heaven and not on the world. Amen. Brother, sister, we are influenced by our national spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Every nation has a spirit. He mentioned several, right? And he said, look, you're not American, you're not a Swedish or European or whatever. Right? All those places have national spirits. Amen. And we can be influenced by our national spirit. Our national spirit is not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our national spirit here is independent. I mean, that's how we became a nation, right? We were so independent that we couldn't be under Great Britain. And so we fought a war because of our national spirit. Independent, self-reliant. Don't tell me what to do. I have my rights. The land of people's rights. Amen. It doesn't matter what you think. I have my opinion and I'm entitled to my opinion and respect my space, respect my rights. Amen? But we are Christians.
Amen.
That's not the spirit of Christianity. Amen. Not of this world. verse 15 of John 17, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And he's repeating that. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. They are like me. That's what he's saying. I like that. Amen. Jesus is saying, you're like him. You came from the same place. You're not of this world like he's not of this world. Brother, sister, you and I, we have a bond that goes beyond anything in this flesh realm. Amen. We are not of this world. Amen? Amen? This isn't ours. This isn't our home. It's a temporary home, of course. And we want good things to happen. And we, you know, we want to get along. And the Bible says live peaceably with all men as much as you can. And we want to do all those things in our home. And we want to do what's right and be good stewards of what God has given us. But this is not our home. Our home is going to be, this earth is going to be renovated, and then we can make it our home. Amen. Amen. This world system is not ours. The physical world is ours, but it needs a cleansing. But the world system is not ours. Amen. It's headed for destruction. Hallelujah. But look at what he said. He said that he prayed that you would be kept from evil. Amen. That you would not be overcome by evil. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Because he knows that you'll walk in this world and there is evil present. There's evil on every side trying to overcome you, trying to steal the joy, amen, trying to bind you up, trying to get you to fall, to compromise, to give in to evil. But Jesus prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that he prayed for you? Amen. Amen. That you would be kept from evil. Amen. Amen. That's his will for you tonight. Amen. Amen. That you would be shielded by the word. You got to stay behind his shield. Amen. And kept from evil tonight. It's not that you won't fight it. Of course you'll fight it. But you'll be kept from an evil overcoming you. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Look at Romans 12:19. It said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Yes. Evil will come against you. Evil things will happen to you. But be not overcome by that evil. Amen. You're an overcomer.
Amen.
Amen. And that means not returning evil for evil. Amen. You know, one day Brother Branham stood up on a stage and he was ministering the word of God and he was praying for people. Amen. Just as his ministry is. And a man that was possessed of demons stood up there and he said, I am going to. He threatened him, right? I'm going to knock you from here until Sunday, right? I'm going to knock your head off, right? And he was a big man and he could do it too. Now, Brother Branham was a fighter, right? I mean, he could have defense, whatever. I don't know. I don't know how to fight, whatever. Amen. But he did. Amen. He could have called the security guys, the cops. He spoke about a policeman who was there in the meeting who had gotten converted, who had gotten saved in the meetings. Amen. And he said he caught his eye, and that policeman, they could have come in there and tackled him. You know, beat that man down, put him in jail, put him in handcuffs, removed him. But that's not love. Amen. That's not overcoming evil with love. What love constrained him to do instead was to face that evil. The evil that was in the man, because there was a man there that needed God. Amen. And brother, sister, you face evil in people. But it's not the people. It's evil in them. And he stood and he faced off that evil in that man. And he defeated the evil in the man through the Holy Spirit. Amen. The power of God stood firm. Amen. And cast that demon out. And the man fell down. Right. Now, Brother Branham said that that man, you know, he worshiped that spirit. So he would take that spirit right back. But he had an opportunity. Amen. Right? It didn't have to be that way. He was now free to make a choice. Amen. That's facing down evil. Not rendering, not overcoming evil with evil. Not returning evil, but overcoming it with good. Amen? Amen. John 17:17. He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Amen. Oh, brother, sister, the truth cleanses us.
Amen.
Amen? The truth has power tonight. Yes. It has power to set you free.
Amen. Yes.
Amen? The Bible says they shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. And the Bible says that the word washes us.
Amen.
How does it wash you? It wipes away all the unbelief. It cleanses the unbelief from you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. As you walk in this sinful, evil world, you collect unbelief. It jumps on you and sticks to you and tries to influence you. And then the water of the word comes and washes it off. It sanctifies you. Amen. It cleanses you from those unbelieving thoughts that are trying to make a nest in your mind. Amen. Those weren't your thoughts. Those were Satan's thoughts. But they're trying to clog up the channel of faith. They're trying to make a nest in your mind, amen. They're trying to hinder you from the promises of Almighty God. But the word comes and it begins to wash that away.
Amen.
Amen. It cleanses you and washes you. Amen. When you start to hear enough times, you're a loser, you're no good, and you start to kind of halfway believe it. Not in your soul, but there's something in you that weakens, right? Your mind begins to get weak to it, and it starts to give in, and it starts to cave. And then the word of God comes, and it cuts through that, and it says, no, you are beloved. Amen. You're a child of God. Amen. You're loved of the Father. You're His child. Jesus prayed for you. Amen?
Amen.
And you begin to hear the word of God and it wipes all that stuff out. And the soul says, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's what I believed all along. And I don't want this unbelief to like cobwebs in my mind, in my life. Amen? Trying to take over. But the word comes and it washes us. He says, sanctify them by thy truth. Amen. Amen. The truth is the antidote for that. The word of God is the antidote. Amen. It drives doubts and fears away.
Amen.
And Jesus said, he sanctified himself for us. So he went through every length necessary for us, for our sake. Amen. Now, you think about that, brother, sister. He avoided things or he did things and didn't do things just for our sake.
Amen.
Amen. And he was our example.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. You know, Paul said in several places in the New Testament, I believe in Romans, in Corinthians, in different places, He instructed the believers about eating food given to idols. Right? You all that have read the epistles, you know what I'm talking about, right? Where he would instruct, and because some of the believers, Christians, your brothers and sisters, they stumbled on that. Right? That the heathens of the day would give food to idols, right? And well, the food was just food. Right? And so there's nothing particularly wrong or good or anything about the food. It's just food. And many of the believers, you know, they were like, well, why shouldn't we eat it? It's food. It's good. All things are good. All things are, you know, you pray over your food and it's good to consume it, right? And then others, it was a hang up for them. Right? They said, no, that's been offered to idols, and they couldn't get over it, and it hindered their faith. Right. And so Paul said, look, if eating food offered to an idol is hindering another's faith, just don't do it. Right? Just avoid it. It's not that it's wrong or not wrong or anything like that, but if it's holding back a brother or a sister, sanctify yourself for their sake. Amen. Amen? We don't want to stumble a brother or sister. We're all in this together. Right. Amen? I need you. You need me. We all need our brothers and our sisters. We're a body. Amen? And why would we want to stumble one? Why would we want to stumble a brother or sister if we could avoid it? Amen? And so Jesus, he did nothing to stumble us. Nothing. There were things that he could have done lawfully. He could have married. Right? It wouldn't have been sin. It would have been lawful. But he sanctified himself against that for our sake. Amen? Amen. So, how about we sacrifice like that for our brothers and sisters? Amen? Verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Oh, hallelujah. We mentioned this verse 20 this morning. Because he says, I'm not just praying. This prayer, this is not just for those that are here physically with me. He says, but I'm praying for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Amen. That's me tonight. Is that you? Amen. You know who was with him? Peter. I believed Peter's word. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, and he said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I believe that word. I received it. Amen?
Yes.
That means I'm counted right here in verse 20.
Amen.
John wrote this gospel. He's telling us this. He was there. He wrote Revelation, right? I believed that testimony.
Yes.
That means he's praying for me. He's praying for you because you believe it tonight.
Amen.
He's praying for every believer. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Oh, I'm so thankful for that. He's praying that we may be one in God.
Yes. Amen.
United together as the family of God.
Amen?
Amen. Not like the world unites together. The world has its own way of uniting. Amen? You know, they do that in politics. Well, do you believe this, this, and this? Okay, you're on the red team. Do you believe this, this, and this? Okay, you're on the blue team. If you're on the blue team sticks together. The red team sticks together. They hate each other. But you've got your team, and yeah, you're united, and everybody's happy, rah, rah, rah. That's what they do. And they pit one against another. Amen? This team versus that team. The same way with sports, right? You got your team and they've got their team. And amen, there's people in parts of this country that go crazy over. Yeah, can't preach this in the South. College football, right? Amen. Everybody's got their team. And they're united, right? And they got their team colors and they've got, you know, they do things a certain way and they have their chants and they've got their cheers and whatever they do, they're all united around this. Now that's carnal uniting. Amen. But he prayed that we would be one in the word, that we would be one in the anointed word.
Amen.
Amen. Not that we would be one and we would all be, you know, the same in terms of, you know, who we are, our natural. Like I said this morning, we're all different. Amen. That's and the reason I said, you say, well, that's pretty obvious. Yes, but you see, it's human nature. Brother Branham said that if you look at the people in a church, he said, you'll see that they can catch their pastor's spirit. Right? Why? Because that's human nature. There's a leadership gift there, and the human nature is to conform to that leadership, that gift. That's what people do. Right? But that's not unity, or that's not the unity or the oneness that we want. It's not conforming to a person. It's conforming to the Word, being transformed by the Word. Amen. All anointed with the same anointing in the Word. That's what unites us together as one.
Amen.
He said that they may be one as the He and the Father are one.
Amen.
Amen. Now look at this. I want to read you a quote from, who do you say this is? Brother Branham says, I wonder if this great thing, this ecumenical council that we got in the world today, the World Council of Churches, forming together to make us all one. You see, they're trying to force unity. Amen. They're trying to organize it. They're trying to bring it about through man's workings. He says, I wonder if they realize if that is exactly what the scriptures said they would do. But they think it's the most wonderful thing in the world. Well, sure, get all the churches in the world together. Why not? Then we can have real fellowship and real unity. But do you have the same life? Do you have the same anointed word in common? If you don't, it's just a put on. Amen? That's why there's so much disunity in this town. Amen? He says, but they think it's the most wonderful thing in the world, that all of us can join hands and be one. Said Jesus prayed that it might be one. That is true, but not that kind of one. Amen? Not that kind of one. Not that we would be able to join hands and, you know, sing together and pray together and think that everything's okay and we're all just one. We have to be united at a different level than that.
Amen.
He says, but not that kind of one. He said, be one as I and the Father are one. My. All that the Father was, He poured into the Son. He was God. I mean, talk about being one. As I and the Father are one, He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Be that kind of one. How would that be? The Word in us would be the anointed Word. That is the oneness of God. See, the oneness of God is the Word anointed in you. See? And then you become a son, a Messiah of the age.
Amen.
So how are we one? How are we united? Well, we were all in the same place before the beginning.
Amen.
We all have the same origin. We all are part of the Word.
Amen.
We all are anointed of the same Spirit. We have the same life.
Amen.
Amen? He says, then you become a son, a Messiah of the age. The Word anointed in you is what Jesus prayed for.
Yes.
It's going to happen to somebody.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? He prayed for you. Make it personal that you would be one with the anointed Word.
Amen.
That you would be what he says, a Messiah, which is an anointed one. That's what that means, right? Little M Messiah. An anointed one of the age. But not just an anointed one, because we know there are anointed ones at the end time. that there can be an anointing, right? But it's that you are, the word is anointed, the true word. Anointed in you. Hallelujah. You are one that's anointed. Like our brother John was preaching about inspired. Right? You're anointed to take the word and hold it like a sword. You're anointed to pick up this word and kill devils. You're anointed to pick up this word and defeat enemies. Amen? You're anointed to pick up that word and take a hold of promises. Amen. That's what you're anointed to do. You're a Messiah. You're anointed to take the word and manifest it and live it out. To take that promise and take possession of it. To take that land that belongs to you. To take back what the enemy took from you. That's what you're anointed to do. That's what Jesus was praying for. Amen? He was praying for the unity of the anointed brethren. The church of the living God that would stand up and take her place. Would take the word that pertains to her. And wouldn't stand for any devil cheating her out of it. No devil talking her out of it. Amen? Take the promise. Hold on to it by the power of God. Amen. That's the anointed word. That's what Jesus wants for you. Amen. That's why he was praying for you. Amen. Amen. And brother, sister, he still wants that for you. He wanted it for you then. He prayed for it and he still wants it for you. He wants you to take this word tonight. He doesn't want you to hold back. He doesn't want you to be timid with it. He wants you to take it and grab a hold of it tonight. Amen. Amen. You believe it. Yes. Accept the word concerning you. Amen. That's where the unity comes from. I've seen myself in the word. You've seen yourself in the word. And look at that. It's talking about both of us. And we have a unity. Because we realize you're talking to the same one I'm talking to. He's saying the same things to me that he's saying to you. You're a child of God just like me. And brother, sister, that's where the unity of the faith comes. We're hearing the same voice. Hallelujah. Oh, do you love him tonight? Amen. Oh, if we could just get that revelation tonight. Amen. If we could just hear from heaven tonight. Oh, brother, sister, it changes everything when he comes on the scene. Amen. When he begins to speak to you. Oh, I just pray that you just let him tonight. Let him speak to you. Let him speak to your heart tonight. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 23. Amen. We're almost finished here. He says, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Hallelujah. I in them, thou in me. Amen. The Father and Christ were one, then he unites with us, and it's all one. That they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. And thou hast loved me. Oh, how I like that. That the world will know that God has loved me. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that he loves me? Do you know that he loves you? Is it on display? Can people say, man, that's somebody. God loves you, man. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. That we may be perfect in one. You know, perfect, it means complete, entire, lacking nothing, full maturity. Amen. That's what our brother was speaking about Wednesday. That full maturity of the word, amen? Being perfect in one that the world will know that Jesus, something's happened. Amen. He's been with the master. She's been with her father. Amen. Something's got a hold of me and it won't let me go. Amen. They know there's a difference. There's a light that's shining. There's a power that's shining in their life. Amen. He prayed that the world will know that God has loved you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Another quote here from "It Is I, Be Not Afraid." If the church could just feel that way, if each Christian could just feel the other fellow's sorrows. Amen. If we're really one, we should be united in our burdens and our sorrows as well. Amen. In our battles. He says, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? Jesus wants us to be that way. His prayer was that we would be one. I believe he couldn't ask God for anything unless God will grant it to him. Why would Jesus pray something that God wasn't going to grant? Amen. He said, like Martha said, even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Amen. Amen. If Jesus prays it, it's going to happen. Take it to the bank. Brother, sister, he prayed for you. I know I keep saying that, but I just love it. He prayed for me. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, I believe all Christians, even now, feel that way about one another. That's right. Of course. He says, we know the great harvest field. He said there was weeds and tares and the parable of the net cast. In other words, there's all kinds of believers, right? He says that it all has to come together. But I believe that God knows his precious children that's scattered along through here in this dark world. But look at how he says, I believe all Christians feel that way about one another. Amen. If we are so united in our faith, we have a revelation that you're my brother, you're my sister. Wouldn't we have that kind of feel towards one another? He says where we could feel another fellow's sorrows and burdens and so forth. That where we could enter into the feelings of one another's infirmities and pray for one another. Amen. That's real unity with Christ because he feels those things. He feels your sorrows. He feels your struggles and your infirmities. The more that you become united with him, the more attuned you become to your brother and sister's struggles and how to help them and how to pray for them. Amen. The more the body gets united with him, the more the body begins to build and strengthen each other and lift each other up. It's the Spirit of Christ in you that desires the best for your brother or sister. They do something wrong. They wrong you. They do something to offend you. You know that's not them. You know that's not the real them. You know that's just their flesh. Amen. The more you become one with him, he knows that that's just their flesh. He knows that they didn't mean that. Oh, it gets real quiet now. Amen. That's oneness. That's maturity. Becoming like him and seeing it from his standpoint. He's not condemning any part of his bride. Why would you condemn it? Amen. You become one. You'll see her through his eyes. You'll see your brother and sister through his eyes.
Amen.
Oh my. Then it got real quiet on that one. Hallelujah. Amen. How will they know that they are Christians? How will they know that they belong to him? By their love one for another. Isn't that what the Bible says? We hit a nerve. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we're here tonight. Praise the Lord. Yes, our brother was speaking about that perfection. that all the world would know that Jesus loved you. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, if the church could just feel that way. Let's move on. Verse 24. John 17, 24. I want to chase that devil some more. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you love him tonight?
Yes.
Amen. Everybody okay?
Yes.
Amen. Everybody comfortable?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You're not too tired? You love the Lord?
Yes.
You love his word?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Brother Andrew preached about having a breakthrough. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. You want a breakthrough tonight?
Yes.
Amen. You know, we could just have a normal, you know, just what we would call a religious church service, and I could just read these last, you know, verses and this quote and things to you, and we could close and that would be fine, but you could break through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. You could get somewhere tonight.
Amen.
It's all up to you.
Amen.
You're in the driver's seat, so to speak. Amen. Amen. Whatever you want tonight, if you want to make this more than just a religious service, that's up to you tonight. Amen. You can break through and touch him. You can touch his garment tonight.
Amen.
Amen. You can touch Jesus tonight.
Amen.
Amen. And you won't be the same.
Amen.
You'll be changed. You'll receive what you have need of. Somebody here tonight. Amen. Somebody here tonight needs this. Amen. Amen. If you feel for your brother or sister, you want to create that atmosphere, don't you? Amen. You want your brother or sister to be able to touch him tonight. Amen. Oh, let's break through this fleshiness now tonight. Amen. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, he's so good. He's our Father, brother, sister. Amen. We're his children. We're all in the same. We're all in this together. Amen. Amen. Let's lift up one another tonight. Don't let this just be theoretical tonight. Amen. Let's try and lift up our brother and sister. Let's try and, amen, let's create an atmosphere. Amen. Where God can move and, amen. Hallelujah. Verse 24, he says, Father. Oh, God, listen to this. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Oh, this is so sweet. He says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, that they would be with me where I am. Oh, he's praying about you tonight. He wants you to be with him. Oh, he loves you so much. He says that they would be with me where I am.
Amen.
That they may behold my glory. Oh, I want to reveal myself to them so bad. I want them to know me. I want them to be with me.
Amen.
That they would behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Oh, that we could be with Jesus.
Amen.
Paul said, you know, I'm here and I'm in the flesh in this world and I'm doing the will of God and I have a ministry. He says, but to be absent from this body is great gain because I would be with Christ. But he says, but I will persevere. I will go on. I will press the course. I will finish my race. But he says, that's not something to be afraid of. Amen. When we leave this body, it's to be present with the Lord. When my race is run, when your race is run, brother, sister, when you've finished your course, then I want to be with him.
Amen.
Amen. And here's the thing. He wants to be with you.
Amen.
He wants you to be with him throughout eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need to know that tonight. That Jesus wants to be with you. That's what he thinks of you tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Look at what Brother Branham said in Things That Are To Be. He said, Jesus only asked for one thing in his prayer to the Father. You know what that was? He says, one thing after all that his sacrifice that he did here on earth, the life that he lived, the path that he walked, he asked for one thing, that where I am, they may be also.
Amen.
Amen. That's his goal, his whole desire, that you would be with him.
Amen.
He wants you to be with him. Amen. He asked for our fellowship. That's the only thing he asked the Father in prayer, your companionship forever. Oh, hallelujah. He says, if you want to read that, it's John 17, the 24th verse. How much then should we desire him? He says, now listen, if you're really born of the Spirit of God, that means everything to you. Oh, tonight it means everything to me. Amen. Does it mean everything to you? That he wants your companionship. Hallelujah. Amen, brother, sister. That's why we don't run from him. Amen. If you fall down, you make a mistake, don't run from him. He wants you to run to him. He wants to help you tonight. He wants to bless you. He wants to be with you. He wants your companionship. He wants to be with you throughout eternity. Not just a little time here, but for all time, for all eternity. Oh, hallelujah. That means everything to me. Amen. He says, if you're really born of the Spirit of God, that means everything to you. Oh, the one that is, he's the most wonderful one in all the universe, and he wants to be with you. He wants you with him. Brother Branham says, it ain't some book of rules. Oh, God. Amen. Help us. Amen. Oh, that is just a demon from hell that would try and place a book of rules on a believer, would try and chain up an eagle with intellectualism and with legalism. Amen. That's an eagle that's been put in a cage. He wants to be with you. He wants to take your sins away. He wants you to surrender to him. He says you don't live by laws and so forth. You live by the grace of God, the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Amen. Musicians, if you'd come. Oh, brother, sister, companionship forever. Stand to your feet with me tonight. Just think about this thought as we close tonight. I'm going to read these last two verses. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love, the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Oh, brother, sister, what a love that we've been caught up into. Amen. What peace, what joy. Brother, sister, that drives out all fear tonight. You don't have to do what fear tells you to do anymore. You know, that's what slaves do. They're afraid and they have to do what fear tells them to. Right? Because there's a spirit of fear lording over them and saying, if you don't do this or if you do this, you're going to hell. We're going to hold your feet over hell. Amen? You don't have to be a slave to that fear. Perfect love casts out fear. What you need to do is just fall in love with him. All of those things will take care of themselves. Amen. You will live the most holy, sanctified life when you are fully in love with him. It's not fear. He said the love that the Father had for Christ, that they would know that kind of love. That's what he prayed for you. That you would experience that love of God. Oh, brother, sister. The Father sent Christ by going in Him. He went in Him in the world. The power of God in Him. That's the way Christ sends us into the world. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. He goes in us. Amen. He's for you. Amen. I wonder if... can you sing Winning Side tonight? You know that one, sister? I would sing it, but I can't. I have no voice tonight. While they're making ready, just listen to me for a moment. Amen. He's on your side. Amen. He is for you. And if He is for you, who can be against you? He's for you. He's on your side. You can't be defeated tonight. Satan is the one that's defeated. Amen. I'm looking tonight at children of God. Part of the family of God. They are defeaters of devils. They are overcomers of the world. No demon can stop you tonight. Because He is on your side. Oh, hallelujah. Let's claim it tonight. Let's take a hold of it tonight. Let's take back what the enemy has taken from us tonight. Don't let him have your land. You take a hold of your land tonight. It belongs to you. He paid a price for that. You take a hold of it. Amen. Amen. We're winners tonight. We're not losers. Go ahead. Amen.
If you're getting tired of losing life's war.
Amen.
And if you've been searching.
We're victors tonight.
For something worth fighting for. Oh my God's got an army.
Who's part of the army tonight?
We've been proving and trying.
Amen. We've got the word on our side.
So come on over.
Child of God.
Burn.